You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college.
Okay, the band is back together. We hope everybody had a terrific Thanksgiving holiday. Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguy, Jeff Goodman with the Ryan Goodman Tanguy along for the ride, Zoom and podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel, the official wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this season with the NFL and FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, guys, let's start with our team, the Celtics. Now, you know, it's funny because I'm such a reactionary fellow.
I just am as a fan.
And in leaving the business full time, I've become even more of a fan and less reasonable in my later years. But, you know, when I get bummed out when the Celtics lose to the Sixers, you know, I go down, I see that game, they didn't play well, or I see that they stubbed their toe here. They should have won that game, but they're still on top of the East. I mean, you know, it's much, much to do about nothing. So, Jeff, I'll get your thoughts on the Celtics in general since we missed you last week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're playing shorthanded now, and, you know, they're still winning the games they should win. You know, they beat Atlanta without a couple guys, key guys. So, you know, Tatum's just been so much more efficient than he's ever been in his career.
I agree.
And again, generally, it's because he's got better players around him, right? He's got guys who know how to play the game. So they're getting him the ball in better spots to whether it's score or he's more able and willing to move the basketball, knowing he's going to get it back in a better spot than he left it.
Right.
So, you know, I know Drew's, you know, banged up a little bit right now. Porzingis is too, but you know, when they're whole, I just love this group because they play pretty – the only one who honestly hasn't been as good is Jaylen Brown. He's the only one who hasn't been as good as he was, but they don't need him to be as good. That's the beauty of this team is somebody can have an off night, even Tatum, and they can still beat good teams.
My biggest takeaway of the – is – no, he's out right now – is seeing how good Porzingis can be and how it can affect the game in different ways. And you know it's really really heartening, really encouraging. I'm looking, you know, I miss him already, you know, but also worried that the thing about him was of course injury, and here we go, you know, it he's got an injury, and I know it could happen to anybody thing, but it seems to happen to him. So I just hope this isn't going to be a season of is he
better now than later, Bob? Better now than later?
No question. About it. You mentioned the fact that they're playing shorthanded, and they have gotten some significant, nice contributions from some, you know, different sources. Let me ask you, before we get to the guys that people don't know anything about, I got to ask Jeff, are you starting to believe a little bit in Sam Hauser?
I always believed he could shoot the hell out of the ball, Bob. That was never
but when it mattered is what I thought you worried about.
Yeah, and I did, because until you do it, Yep. Like, I don't know if we trust it until you do it in key spots. Now, he's actually played some meaningful minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a little bit in the playoffs, right? Like, so I think now you feel certainly better than you did a year ago at this time. And I like the fact that, again, these injuries are beneficial because we get to play Hauser more. You get to see a little bit more from him. He's more comfortable playing in the first unit now.
Oh, yeah.
So, listen, Sam Hauser is one of the better shooters, pure shooters, in the NBA. Like, I feel comfortable saying that. He's in probably the top 5-10% in the NBA in terms of pure shooters, and he's got the size. The big thing you're worried about with Sam Hauser was always his defense, right? Was he going to be a liability? And he has not been a liability on the defensive end, and that, to me, is critical for him being able to stay out there, and if he's not making threes, still being able to be productive.
I think that they show great confidence in him. They seek him out. I mean,
they,
you know,
they should.
He's oh, yeah. You know.
He is their best pure shooter on the court, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, also, though, it makes us feel better, Bob, about the bench a little bit, because I'm not saying he's the answer completely because of some, you know, the defense and what he's a specialist. But coming into the season, we said, you got a starting five and maybe six guys, then what? Does he make you feel a little bit better about the bench looking down the road?
Well, the first two games, you know, I was going crazy because they win the first two games with a total bench production of 20 points in two games. That's what
the long season.
I just went off the deep end on that one. This can't continue, which of course it hasn't. But I mean, that was just terrifying to me that the idea. But we're beyond that stage now. We have to. I'm not worried about it anymore. You know.
But you need one more big. I think you need one more big, guys, because you can't rely. Pritchard's great as your first guard coming off the bench. He's great. Your point guard coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know Hauser is great in his role. You know, it's kind of a four, a stretch four that can come off the bench and give you minutes when you need it. And Al's great. But again, how confident are you that Al is going to be healthy come playoff time? You need a backup plan just in case. Because again, like you talked about, Bob, Porzingis' his history with injuries and Al being older. You got it. Brad Stevens has got to be on the lookout now till the trade deadline for somebody that could give you 20 minutes if you need it up front at the five spot.
Well, because now speaking of Al, I'm just so enjoying watching him play lately. And the idea that I'm like everybody else, I basically had resigned myself. Oh, Uncle Al, it's over. You know, nice to have him around. He'll be a good source of wisdom and all that for right. The youngins. But meanwhile, he's had two 15 rebound games lately, including last night, and they don't win without him the way he's playing. It's really heartening. I feel somewhat kind of proprietary toward Al in that I happened to be present with, I think, was his coming out party at Florida a long time ago. But during the Patriots Jacksonville Super Bowl, Charlie Pierce and I went over to Gainesville to see an afternoon game and go to Florida. And Al, the young Al, had his first big game as a Gator that day. And so I always been following his career with great interest.
He's a winner.
I just want to interject. I wish there had been a secret recording device with Mr. Ryan and Mr. Pierce. Two of the greatest wordsmiths in the history of Boston media. But anyway.
Two that aren't shy to express their opinion.
Oh, no. My God. No. I mean, Charlie, God love
him. Charlie probably gets Bob going.
How much Charlie loved college basketball, too. Oh. You know, there are people out there that, you know, they know him as a political writer. Yes. Period. Oh, you know, yeah. I mean, and Esquire and Vanity Fair and all that. But you know, I know Charlie Pierce and many other guys, and God, he loves college basketball, and we such a given that we were going to go, that we were there. That was an obvious. You know, we knew we were going over to with Gainesville. Anyway, Al can play this game. He knows how to play this game. And he's still an important person, but you know, we know he has to be handled with kid gloves. We know that you can't go back to back, et cetera, et cetera. But boy, that was a nice performance he gave him last night.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel. You know what's America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. Look, if you're not good at math, you know that's a good deal. I mean, I'm not good at math, and I know that's a good deal. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is easy to use, so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off your NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. All right, here we go, folks. Now pay attention to this. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah, another thing I think that we've seen here, Jeff, is that if you take a look at the standings, some of the hotter teams or some of the teams we thought would be a threat have fallen off a little bit. I mean, Indiana puts up a lot of points, but they're not really on the top of the heap there. Philadelphia, everybody has to be healthy for that. The Knicks, I thought, would be a little bit better. But the Orlando Magic, who created a buzzsaw against the Celtics the other night, seemed to be for real.
Yeah, I don't think they're for real yet. I don't think they're for real yet, Bob. I mean, shoot, they got a superstar in Paolo. And he is a stud, and he's making shots from deep now. You know, he's going to be a top 10 player in this league at some point in his career. I just don't know if he and the Wagners are quite there yet. But, man, you know, to do what they've done coming out of the gates has shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah, they're a team that you could see rooting for, you know, if you're a fan. They have people down there who have something to sink their teeth into now with those with that team. I love the idea of the brothers, you know. Now, and of course, the idea that we had Mo and didn't know he was any good, that bothers me a little bit. But people forget that he actually had a little run with the Celtics 2 years ago, but or three, was it two, 2021, I think. But anyway, it's, you know, they're coming off. Hey, you wonder, Jeff, about how the confidence thing grew with Germany winning the world championship and them playing an instrumental role. I think things like that are very interesting to monitor. And
that's a great point.
You know, that had to do a lot for their, you know, self-worth, you know, I would think.
And Jalen Suggs has been much better this year.
I liked him. I loved him at Gonzaga. Yeah.
I mean, again, like he and Fultz, I don't know if you can win at the highest level with Cole Anthony, Suggs, and Fultz together. I don't know if any of them are like good enough shooters that you're going to win at the highest level. But they're tough dudes. All of them, they have one thing in common. They're like chip on their shoulder, tough dudes who play hard. And again, you put enough skill around those guys and they're okay. Like Wendell Carter's a good piece. They got a lot of good pieces. Again, I think you're going to need a running mate alongside Paolo. And I'm not sure Franz Wagner is quite that, but he's been way better than I thought.
Or Paolo, he's everything he's supposed to be.
Yeah, Paolo's a stud.
It's pretty evident. He's everything he was supposed to be, and he's going to be, you know, right, he's going to be a top.
You know who is, too? And I know we didn't have this on the docket today, Gary. Chet Holmgren. Holy crap.
No, go ahead, Jeff. You can elaborate. Bob and I talked about him last week, but go ahead. Give us the Goodman take.
So, you know, I've seen Chet for years. And loved him. And he was pretty good at Gonzaga, you know, his 1 year there. And then, you know, it's like out of sight, out of mind. Unfortunately, that's the way we are. And last year, he gets hurt before the season in kind of a freak injury. And we forget how good he is. You know, I'm not going to say he's Victor, but like, he's not far off from Victor, guys.
No, he's got the same. basic range, skill set range. Yes. And of course, the same question we're going to have for both of them for longevity is right. How those bodies. Yeah. We're one fairly a quarter of the way through a season, you know, so they got a long way to go to prove they can get through an NBA season without something bad happening to their bodies, and not to mention a career. But meanwhile, let's enjoy them. I'm enjoying them. And by the way, guess who's got the best record in the Western Conference today as we speak? Minnesota.
Oklahoma City.
Minnesota. I saw that this morning. Yeah.
12-4. Yeah. And of course, Anthony, yeah, we talk about guys that came out of a tournament feeling their oats. You know, we didn't, the USA didn't win, but Anthony Edwards was the best player on the team. And it was kind of a coming out party, really, in terms of asserting himself as a special player.
So, you know where that helped him, I think? I think it helped Anthony Edwards in, like, how to be a leader. And I'm not sure he was a great leader for Team USA necessarily, but all those coaches that were there that were probably trying to teach him the right way to do it. At least you got to be the guy, and you got to lead all these other guys. And again, I think he probably took steps that helped them this year, because that was my biggest concern with Minnesota, and will always be is you know, do they have talent? We know that Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns are both supremely talented players, but again, do they have the right combination? Do they have that leader? I'm not sure they do, but man, like, they're talented and they've gotten off to a good start. Well, guys, Orlando, I think it's a little bit of like fake news at this point. I think they're going to fall back to, you know, maybe they make the play-in. I bet they're right there at the end, like play-in type game.
I mean, Jeff, that's an improvement.
Totally. Totally.
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, they're relevant. They're relevant. Maybe I should rephrase it. Are they for real? They're relevant.
Totally. No, I agree. Yeah. With Minnesota, you look at and you say, like, all right, like, if everything goes right, could Minnesota be a team that we're actually talking about in the West, you know, to make the Western Conference Finals? Like, could they? I don't think they're there yet. I think they're probably a year away. But again, the Lakers are getting older with LeBron. Golden State's getting older. Like, it's going to open up some room to at least get to deeper in the conference finals. I'm not sure they're beating Denver when it matters, but
or Phoenix.
Again, they're a threat. They're a real threat.
Speaking of which, Jokic had 39 last night without a three. I love that. So, you know.
Well, are we starting this, Bob? Do you think we're starting to see a shift here? Well, I don't know if it's a shift, but I can't remember when we've talked about youth in the NBA we are right now. I mean, we've talked about Wembanyama, we've talked about Holmgren, right, you know, you're mentioning the guys in Minnesota, Orlando.
And
a lot of it is because, obviously, you know, European players, international players have helped out. But you know, if you saw Orlando on the schedule, you'd be like, like Houston or any of these other teams, you'd be like, oh, what am I borrowing this for? Or San Antonio.
Yeah,
you know, but now there seems to be this, I don't know, I'm not describing it right, but you have the top, but the gap is closing.
Oh, no, look, the West right now, look, the top four teams in the West right now, as we speak, are Minnesota, OKC is 11-5, and then followed by Phoenix and Denver, each 11-6 as we speak. You know, Minnesota, you wouldn't, who would have predicted that at any juncture in the season that Minnesota OKC would be leading the West?
Right. No, I mean, will they maintain it? That. Who knows? But
we wouldn't have predicted that. Now, you know, so it's good. It's good.
You know, that's why I think there's a change going on here. There's a youth movement that we're seeing.
There's more interesting teams. That's all. I mean, we've already talked in previous episodes about it. The Indiana scoring binge, you know,
right,
and it's to continues. And of course, Atlanta is also a scoring team. The Celtics managed to hold them to 103, which is really, you know, pretty good. And by the way, Trae Young, when he's going off, he is good. It's almost like he's in mental competition with Curry to see who can shoot from farther out. Anything Steph can do, I can do better in terms of distance. I swear to God, I think I totally believe he wants to outdo Curry in that regard, because he shoots from distances that are absurd. and they, sometimes they go in.
Jeff, I want
to
give
you know who's been pretty good? Gary, I don't know if you talked about him last week, but we should get to it at some point. The old Celtics head coach, Ime Udoka.
Look at what he's doing. No, Jeff, go ahead, man. I mean, that's a great point. What do you got?
Look at what this dude's doing. I mean, they're over 500. You know, again, we're only probably, what, 20% into the season. So it could totally go into a tailspin. But Ime's got the right guys for him now. Right. I mean, you add Fred VanVleet, who's the perfect guy for Ime. The perfect guy.
How come?
And Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is perfect for Ime.
Why do these guys fit? I mean, we remember from the Pacers. Why do you think they're perfect for him?
They're just tough as shit, which is what Ime needs. He needs tough dudes. It's why Marcus Smart loved him and he loved Marcus Smart, right? They were the perfect fit. He needs some of those guys. And like Fred's perfect for them because they needed like an adult in the room. You know, Jalen Green wasn't ready. The organization was a mess last year, a complete mess. I talked to enough people in the know there, and they were like, it just, there's no leadership from the coaching staff down. Something needed to be done. And now they've got a good combination, I think, you know, some young guys, but again, VanVleet and Dylan Brooks bring the toughness. You got Jalen Green, and Sengun's been awesome. Awesome.
Well, I mean, should we be surprised, Jeff, that Ime can do the job? Because that wasn't – ability certainly wasn't the issue in Boston.
No, we know why.
Never.
No, nothing to do with why he's not here. So that's
He's flipped it. Listen, if you're a Celtics fan, you're still going to go back. And this may be the case in like 3 and 5 years from now. They might have a title, two titles under the belt. Who knows? We're still going to go back to 2 years ago. 2 years ago? Yeah. The first half. The first half was horrible.
Yeah.
Except 3 years ago. 3 years ago.
His first year. Yeah.
And then they flipped it. This Ime flipped that thing. Remember how average they were?
Right.
And we were all complaining. This team is tough to watch. It's time. I said it. Like, let's move Jalen. See what you can get for him. Don't give him away, but see what you can get. And Bob was almost on board with me. I don't know if he was fully on board, but I think he was damn close at that point. I'm like, you got to do something. And Ime, give him credit. He held him accountable. He found the right buttons to push, and he challenged them, and they flipped this thing completely. So I think Ime's going to get and deserve, maybe he won't get enough credit in a few years if they win titles, but he deserves it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to, Bob and I have talked about it, but as we speak, I believe Orlando is undefeated in the in-season tournament. Have you enjoyed it? Have you paid attention? Bob and I are like, hey, it's great. If you love it, fine. We don't have any animosity towards it. I just don't think, I'll speak for Bob, we're into it maybe like others.
I don't care. I don't care. It's honestly irrelevant to me.
Do you think it's helped the product?
Irrelevant to me.
Do you think it's helped the product?
I don't know. I don't think that much. I mean, again, you got Indiana right now. They're 4-0 in their Group A standings. I'm looking at it right now. I haven't looked at it in probably at all. But, you know, these Pacers players, somebody made a good point. I forget if it was LeBron or somebody. They made a good point. They said for these younger guys, the prize money is significant. And, you know, the hope is that some of these older guys want to win this for the younger guys, and they want to win games regardless. But I think there's a little more incentive for these younger dudes who again, that's real money for a guy that's just hanging on at the 13th spot and on a two-way deal or something like that. That's real money for LeBron James. Come on. Like it's nothing. It's like a quarter for us.
No, I think I totally agree with that. And I'm also with you. Oh, it's Tuesday. Must be a you know, it's a tournament game. It's Friday. It's a tournament game. I don't look at it. I don't care right now. They got to make me care. They haven't done it yet. You know, I'm just looking at it. It's another game in the schedule. I'm watching it from that point, and that's it. Not worrying about the schedule. Also, I'm very amused, though. Now, I mean, people are citing that the incentive, the ultimate incentive for these guys is we get 5 days in Las Vegas. Are we supposed to, you buy into that? Maybe
they like going to the clubs. Hey, like going to the clubs in Vegas, Bob.
I buy it, Bob. I buy it.
That's why
the summer league's there.
I find that kind of sad. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know what? But this is it, Bob, because this is it. I know what you're saying. You're 23, you're 24, 25. You're in your 20s. It's like the movie. It's Vegas, baby, Vegas. You know? I mean, that's it. I mean, it's just, if you're Al Horford, you probably don't care. You know, but for some of the, it's still Vegas. It's, you know.
All right, well,
they're kids. We lose track sometimes. Yes, they're adults. They're playing a game, but they're still in their 20s.
So are there no games? Here's my question to you. When the tournament is going on in Vegas, is the rest of the league shut down?
And so they get these off? 7th, 8th, and 9th of December. Well, we'll have to look. I haven't thought about that, but that's a good point. I haven't thought about that.
I'm going to look now.
7th, 8th, and 9th of December.
Well, you look that up, and I'm going to move on. And Bob, we'll get Bob wants to talk about another in-season event, and that's the All-Star yeah. game. And he's happy that they're returning to the old form, which is East versus West. Just keep it simple.
Well, the idea, you know, the thing has deteriorated into utter complete farce and under whatever circumstance and whatever trappings, you know, it's a dunkorama. It's a joke. There's no defense. The scores are ludicrous. It's not basketball and it's boring and I don't watch it. And, you know, it's horrible. But does it have to be that way? I mean, I'm old enough to remember, there were some really competitive games. I remember.
Oh, we all are. We remember, you know,
remember Magic in Seattle where Tom Chambers was the, you know, we got the MVP in his home city and you know, and all that. There were some good ones. Also, I do also remember a period of time in the early 70s when there was a lassitude. There was an awful game in Chicago in 1973. I was 104 to 84, 84 points in an All-Star game. Imagine that. And players didn't seem to care. And then there was a lot of backlash on that. And then the next few years, the games got much better. I just would think that the professional personal pride of these guys, that the idea of this is the best 24 in this case, 24 guys, 12 and 12 that out of the league, that they would want to put on a good show and will want to just for the hell of it for bragging rights, just want to win the game. And play a game properly and play it as well as they can. I don't see anything wrong with that. And I understand why they don't want to do that. There's no reason why the NBA All-Star game shouldn't be an epic with these great players if they play hard and play well instead of the nonsense that they've allowed it to deteriorate into.
Offer $500,000 to each player for the winning team. Then you'll
have to order. You know, they shouldn't. You think these guys, as competitive as they are, theoretically, to get where they have been in their lives, that they wouldn't, they shouldn't want to put on the show with the creme de la creme. And I just don't get the. I think that, you know, the game should mean something for them, but we'll see what happens. Now they got a new format. It doesn't mean we won't have 182 to 178. We don't know that until they go out there and show us that they want to play.
I don't know what they can do. I mean, again, I think you've got to find a way to incentivize them. I don't know what that way is. I don't know. Other than pride, again, there should be a level of personal pride.
Yeah. But
part of the problem is, listen, it's not like it's that different from some of these regular season games. Think about it. Like, some of these regular season games are insane numbers offensively.
Right.
So it's not like we're going from one crazy end of the spectrum to the other here. We're going much further. We're going further into, like, we're not guarding at all, where in some of these regular season games, yeah, they're guarding, but really all it is an offensive show in so many of these games.
Well, I think that go ahead, Bob.
No, I'm saying, obviously, you can substantiate that with some of these scores we've had in the last 2 weeks. and they're way more than we've seen in a long, long time. And I don't know what that, I'd like to know what, see what that means in the long run, whether it's going to stop now and maybe we've gone through a phase and, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I just want to stick up for the idea that people, that there's no reason why you shouldn't want to make an All-Star game something substantial. I got to tell you, you know, okay. So anyway, that we get closer, we'll have more to talk about.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think that they have followed in the footsteps of the Pro Bowl, which is now, you know, a contest, the skills contest, and the NHL, where it was physical and guys didn't want to get hurt. That's fine. The NBA, it's not the same risk. Obviously, you can get hurt, but you can still have a competitive game. And also, it became a weekend. Jeff, I think you've been out there for those weekends. It became a weekend where it became more entertainment. It became more about the parties and the dunk contest and the rookie game and, you know, that who's being seen with what as opposed to a game.
So I'm probably going to go this year only because it's in Indianapolis, and my daughter is actually in a class at Indiana University, taught by Mike Wells. There's like 10 people in the class, and Mike Wells is a former ESPN writer. And this class is actually going to be able, all the kids are going to be able to go and cover the NBA.
Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah, good.
So for me, I'm like, all right, if I can get out there and see her and hang with her a little bit. And
that's terrific.
Why not? So I'm going to go, and I'm dying to see what it looks like. But you're right. Like, Gary, like, it's fun. It's fun. You know what it's fun for? To me, the best part of it is seeing, like, the first-time All-Stars. Like, those are the ones that are, like, so appreciative, so happy. And, like, it's good to see these guys hanging out with each other a little bit and having fun. But I want to see, when it gets down to it, when the game starts, I want to see some actual, like, competition and fight and want to win and want to take some pride in defense. Well,
look,
that's the only thing. Like, and the slam dunk contest has gone to hell, too.
Oh, my God.
That's garbage. It's garbage.
Yeah, I mean, no. It's listen, when Michael stopped doing it, same thing with the three-pointer with Larry and so forth, it certainly meant more. I also think that you have the relationship between players. While Larry and Magic were friends, you know, in the second half of their career, after they shot the legendary Converse commercial, they still competed like hell in the All-Star game. You know, I mean, you still, even though you were friends with people on the other side, you still did not want to lose. You know, there was that sense of competition that just doesn't exist right now. I don't know. You know, I mean, we could go, but I mean, I'm sure Bob could pontificate on, you know, Bob Gibson hating to anybody would fraternize with the enemy. You know, you were on his S list, you know, and that was in the late 60s. And I'm sure that maybe it's an exaggeration, but if you take a look at how things have changed from, you know, Bob Gibson, I don't want you talking to the enemy, to now, I mean, it's not even close.
That's transcendent. That's all sports.
That's all sports, but that's the deal.
That's not going back, guys. No time soon.
So I don't, you know, the only way I think you got to pay him, you know, if you want me in, you got to have prize money, but who knows? We'll see. Jeff, you've had a chance to notice something interesting in the college game that could have an impact on the pro game down the road in the big men.
Well, it already has. I mean, it already has with you know, all these great, the best players in college right now are all big men that frankly can't get to the NBA. And it's changed. I mean, think about this, Bob. 10 years ago, Jahlil Okafor was a top three pick in the NBA. Now, Jahlil Okafor wouldn't be drafted. Would not be drafted at all. And I'm not even talking about the Jahlil Okafor we saw in the NBA, but the one leading up to it, right? The guy at Duke who's dominant low post scorer, Zach Edey. There's a reason he's still at Purdue this year after winning National Player of the Year. Hunter Dickinson. There's a reason he's still there after putting up huge numbers at Michigan. You know, you had Oscar Tshiebwe, a dominant rebounder, dominating in the G League right now. But he cannot get to the NBA. Why? Well, most of these guys can't step out. Hunter Dickinson has shown he can and step out and shoot the three. But most of them can't do that. And also defensively, You can't switch with them. They are, you know, one-dimensional, and really what they're able to do, they're not athletic, they're not long. You know, if you're long and athletic, it's different. You can switch ball screens, you can block shots, you can run the court, all those things. But to me, you better be able to either shoot the hell out of the ball as a big and be a stretch big, or be a long athletic big. If you're not, your odds of making and being drafted in the first round or maybe at all are very slim these days.
Oscar Tshiebwe is the best rebounder to come out of college basketball in the 21st century, and he can't get to the NBA. That is astonishing to me. That skill would alone, I don't care, would have to get him a job. And it's still, I think it will, but I can't believe it won't at some point. But that's a statement I'm going to stick with. He's the best rebounder we've seen in college basketball in the 21st century. And here he is. One of the byproducts of this for me, and you're right, and I can't argue with anything you're saying, I think it's sad, I hate it, is he's still got different levels of basketball. And it's a reason to watch college basketball, to see Zach Edey. He knows what he's doing down there. You know, he's still a pleasure to watch. He's got right hand, left hand. He's got different moves. He's not McHale, but he knows what he's doing down there. And so does Hunter Dickinson. And they're a pleasure to watch for me as a basketball fan. And if they're not good enough for the NBA, well, that's the NBA's problem. But but you're right. The game has so changed so dramatically. It's incredible. Can you imagine having this discussion 20 years ago, and there's going to be a time when a 7'4" guy who's player of the year will not even be in the draft? No, that would have been science fiction. You couldn't believe that could possibly happen.
Does it ever go back? Do you guys think it ever, you know, because everything kind of goes in cycles, right? Like, does it get back? I mean, are we talking 30 years away from it going back, or could it go back, like, because you've seen the league for so long, Bob. Like, is this something that could go back, or are we past that point?
No, I mean, the three is the most radical transformation of how the game's being. The two most radical things that affected the NBA in its 75-year history are the 24-second clock that was implemented in 1954-55 and the hostile takeover of the three. And the Daryl Morification of basketball.
The hostile takeover. It's like they took like hostages.
No, really, it's what it is. It's a hostile takeover. Look at the hostage. Zach Edey and Hunter Dickinson are already hostages. Oscar Tshiebwe is a hostage of the three. Dude, if it weren't for the three, the game wouldn't have the same game we knew. Yeah. So that's the most dramatic transformation, and it's a different game than it was even 10 years ago, let alone 30. And so that's where we are. And it isn't going to go back. You know, I mean, nobody's going to stop. Every little kid in America wants to be Steph Curry, and every big man is being instructed now. You got to learn how to shoot, you know, it's different. It's a very different game. And I don't see it going back. And I hate to say it, but there'll be a 4-point shot before I'm dead, and that might be the thing that kills me.
The quote. Hey, the quote of the year from Bob Ryan: there'll be a 4-point shot before I'm dead.
And the full quote. But that might be what kills me.
And that might be the thing that kills me.
I love it.
whether it's dishing casseroles for Thanksgiving or projecting his demise, Bob Ryan is en fuego, or el fuego.
En fuego.
En fuego. I got that wrong. En fuego. I can't even get that right. Anyways. So, Jed's a pleasure. Anything else in your mind before we say so long? I think we've covered everything.
All good. We hit a bunch of stuff today. Yeah, you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
We did. Yep. How do you feel about casseroles, Jeff?
I'm not bad on green bean casserole. I kind of like it. It's not like at the top of my list, but it's like I had some. I'm not going to lie to you.
Don't ever bring it to the Ryan house. Well, see you guys.
Just keep it at the other end of the table. That's all.